We have so much to talk about today.
We do.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Maine.
You're in Maine.
It's cold and snowy.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Cold and snowy in Maine.
Yes. The sun is out though, so it's a nice day.
Well, that's good. It's chilly here in Savannah, Georgia, which is about 60 degrees today.
That's like a nice summer day up here.
I tried to go swimming in Maine once. We camped on the beach when I was a kid, and there was an island that we could see just off the coast. And I wanted to get to that island so bad, and I was like, I'm going to swim to it. And my dad's like, you're not swimming to that. I made it about into a little over my knees, and I turned around and came right back.
Came back. We used to spend summers at Cape Cod when I was a kid, and like at the end of August, and wouldn't be swimming because water was too cold.
Right.
I don't like cold water.
Silly cold water. Anyway, you have any questions before we start?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, then we'll just go ahead and do this thing.
Okay.
Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. I'm Rashawn Parker, and we're going to talk about all things service industry related and whatever else I feel like talking about. But before that, if you haven't, please go watch my television series, Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. Tubi TV, it's Fox's free TV. I have a fantastic guest today. She knows anything and everything you would ever want to know about raising chickens and their eggs. She is what I'm calling the number one authority on backyard chickens. She is termed Queen of the Coop, which is fun, by the way.
I did not make that. That was a mean thing, but I'll take it.
She is the author of numerous books, including Fresh Eggs Daily, Duck Eggs Daily, Gardening with Chickens, Let's Hatch Chicks, and DIY Chicken Keeping. She also hosts a television series called Welcome to My Farm. Ladies and gentlemen, the fantastic Queen of the Coop, Lisa Steele.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So I guess we'll just dive right into it. Why do you love chickens so much?
One thing that I really love about chickens, they're small, they're manageable, and they're one of the few, like let's call them pets, that actually provide food. You don't have to kill the animal to get the benefit. You know, if you're raising rabbits or something, you have to use them as meat. Cows are a little big and not quite as great for backyards. But chickens really fit in suburban, urban, any kind of backyard, and fresh eggs really are the best. I mean, they're just such a versatile food.
Did you grow up on a farm?
I did. Central Mass, very rural, kind of like where we live now. Love New England.
I grew up on a farm, but it was a retired farm, so it didn't actually have the animals still there, but it had all the buildings. The chicken coop was still there. We turned it into a clubhouse.
Right. Outbuildings are fun. When you're a kid, it's fun to have barns and sheds and all kinds of stuff to explore.
Right? Kids don't get that anymore. Like, I think maybe we're like the last generation to actually get to go run around and play in old abandoned buildings and just run through cornfields and get lost in cornfields.
We used to go back in the woods and just explore in the woods, and we'd end up like at the other end of town in people's backyards. My mom, and I'm sure yours too, we'd take off on our bikes and she'd say, we'll just come back when it gets dark or come back for dinner or whatever. She had no idea where we were or what we were doing.
No, I ran away from home one time up into the hills of our back
and no one even knew.
Backyard. Yeah, I set up a tent down in some briar bushes. I took some Girl Scout cookies with me and I was going to live there. I made it maybe 14 hours or something.
And then your mother noticed you didn't show up for dinner.
It got dark and I got scared. I was like, I need to go home now.
That's funny.
But so as you you got older, did you always know that you wanted to maintain that type of lifestyle?
Not at all. I went to college and worked on Wall Street and did just a complete reversal of growing up.
You revolted.
And I I don't know if it was revolting or just, you know, when you grow up in a small town, you feel like there's a big world out there that you're not part of. What, you know, whether it's TV or, of course, the internet wasn't around back then. But I just felt like there was more out there that I wanted to explore. And it turned out that it really wasn't as cool as I thought it was. You burn out really quickly.
The city,
you know,
the city
will
get you.
Is rough.
Yeah.
It does. It ages you fast. And I definitely was not meant to work in a cubicle. Accounting was probably the worst profession I could have chosen.
Stuck in front of a computer in a cubicle all day, every day, crunching numbers.
Yeah, nothing against accountants. I mean, I'm sure there are those accountants that love their jobs, but it wasn't for me. And I mean, honestly, now looking back, it's a great background to have because I basically run a business now and I need to know how to figure profit margins and do our taxes and balance a checkbook and all that kind of stuff. So it is a good background to have, but as a career, not so much.
The country mouse did not like the city.
No,
I don't either.
I do like to visit though. I have to say, you know, I love eating out and I love trying new restaurants and just kind of being around that for maybe a day or two and then I'm done.
And back to the hills and the fresh smell of chickens.
Chicken manure.
Yeah. You probably don't even smell it anymore though, right?
You know, not really.
It's like when you're from the country, and people don't realize this, and if you drive through the country, like through cow country, and you're like, you can smell the manure. But right. Like, if you live there, you don't smell it at all because you're just so used to it.
And I'd rather smell cow manure. We used to have horses, you know, cow manure, horse manure. I'd rather smell that than like rotting garbage. I mean, cities don't smell all that great either.
There is something comforting about it. It's fresh.
Mm-hmm. It's also great for the garden. So it has its uses.
The trash, not so much. It just
no.
So how many chickens? This is just a random question. How many chickens do you think you've known in your lifetime? Like, could you count the jelly beans in the jar?
Exactly. Well, we started out in 2009 with six. That was our first, like, as an adult raising chickens, that was our first flock. We got six.
And what inspired you to do that? Why did
my husband was in the Navy, so we were in Virginia, and we lived on a small horse farm. He had horses from way previous, and this was his last tour of duty. So we felt pretty comfortable that, you know, we were going to be staying there. And so we bought a little property that was a small horse farm, and we had horses in the back. And it was 2009, and so it was the recession. People were out of work. Everybody was gardening and getting into everything rural. And I actually wanted goats because, you know, I had chickens as a kid. I really didn't want chickens again, but I wanted goats because I wanted to make cheese and soap and everything. And my husband, who's a little bit more practical and realistic, just had visions of goats escaping, eating everything, walking on the hood of his truck, you know. So he counteroffered with chickens. And I decided to accept the counteroffer because I figured, well, if we get the chickens, then we can just get the goats. I mean, once you have one animal, you just have them all. Yeah. So
smart.
We did that and like grabbed the car keys, went to the feed store and boom, I was like six chicks, we're ready to go. So then, I mean, it's just kind of like every spring I was either getting more chicks or hatching chicks. And then of course you have some roosters. So then you have to find homes for the roosters and it just like compounds. So by 2015, when we were getting ready to move to Maine, we had about 36 chickens and probably 12 ducks.
Where'd the ducks come from?
Well, we have geese now too. It just happens. You know, you get them, you get some more. But I've been pretty picky along the way. You know, we had
geese eggs are delicious.
Those are goose eggs, actually. And duck eggs, too. They're richer and they're great for baking. I've really enjoyed having the ducks. I think think I like the ducks better than the chickens. I know I like the ducks better than the chickens.
I feel like they have more personality.
Way more. And they're, I feel like the chickens are always disappointed in me somehow. You know, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's raining, whatever. The ducks are
It's your fault, Lisa. How dare
all
you?
All the time. I know, I'm probably the first person on record to say I feel like I disappoint my chickens, but I just feel, I feel so much disapproval from them all the time.
You know, they just always have that sideways look, you know? Like,
yeah. Like I feel like I could have
judging
done more.
Judging you. You know, you could have moved us to Florida where it was warm.
Well, yeah, that whole thing, the whole winter, I think they just are disgusted with life. But the ducks, you know, they don't mind the snow. They don't mind rain. They're just happy about everything. Man. So I like the ducks.
Someone should tell Daffy to take a note. So you have several books here. Mm-hmm. I never got the PDF of your book. I just realized.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. But it's okay. We're gonna talk about all these. Okay.
Okay.
So your very first book was the DIY Chicken
Fresh
Keeping.
Eggs Daily.
Oh, well, Fresh Eggs Daily was the first?
Yes.
And your latest book then is DIY Chicken Keeping.
Is the Fresh Eggs Daily cookbook.
That's I'm confused.
So this was my first one, which was 2013, all about raising chickens, Fresh Eggs Daily.
All right. Oh, and then the cookbook is the same title, but I
and
gotcha.
The cookbook is the Fresh Eggs Daily cookbook. So we stayed on brand, and yeah, I wasn't sure how I liked that title, but I think it was the right decision because, you know, people who do follow me and recognize the name,
and the blog
it.
And the book and the, yeah, no, that,
and
that
the
totally
social
makes
media
sense.
And the whole deal. Yes.
So your first book was just about how to raise the chickens and dealing right. with having chickens in your backyard or. Did you cover apartments, mm-hmm. like city living? Can you get a little?
Not really. I talked about space requirements and that, you know, back then there weren't as many urban areas allowing chickens. I'd say in the last 5 or 6 years, a lot more urban areas are allowing chickens in garden apartments or rooftop gardens or
right.
wherever. Yeah. And I mean, it's perfectly doable. Chickens really don't need a ton of space.
I mean, they were keeping pigeons on top of roofs for years.
Right, exactly. Kind of the same thing. Right. Yes, it's definitely doable. And I think that more city areas are allowing it. Obviously, suburban backyards are well-suited for chickens.
Chickens everywhere. And some people keep them as pets now, too. It's a lot of TikTokers with a diaper on their chicken. Have you seen this?
Yeah, and I mean, between Salmonella, E. coli, now the avian flu, the last thing I want is a chicken in a diaper running around my house.
No.
And I'm not really sure the chickens want that either. Like, I feel like my chickens would be even more disgusted with me if I brought them in the house. You know, at least outside there's bugs and
all the fun things that they have.
Worms and all the fun chicken things. Like, what does a chicken do in your house all day? I don't even understand.
Maybe if you leave the windows open, there's enough stuff to come inside to keep them entertained.
Right.
Yeah, terrible idea all around.
It is a terrible idea all around. I just can't get behind that. It's super unsanitary.
So I have a small backyard, and I have two dogs. We don't have any chickens yet. But if I were to want to go get some chickens and put them in my backyard, what would I do?
Super easy. I mean, first check with your town or municipality to make sure that you can have them. Sometimes there's limits on how many you can have. You usually can't have a rooster. You might need a permit for your coop.
But once
you sort all that out, that's like all the fun stuff.
You need a special permit for the rooster?
No, for coops sometimes, you know, depending on how large your coop is, you might need to get like a building permit or something like that. Your taxes will probably go up if it's large enough, but a lot of places don't allow roosters, especially in the city limits.
Just because they're loud and annoying?
They're loud and annoying. But you don't need a rooster, so it doesn't matter. But then just go to your feed store you know, there's probably a local feed store somewhere. And this time of year, they probably have baby chicks. They have the feeder, the waterer, they have chick feed. They might even have a little coop that you can bring home and put together for them.
And then boom, you're in chicken business.
Started with chickens. Yeah.
And then, so as a chick, how long does it take a chicken to grow to maturity to where it starts delivering eggs?
So baby chicks do actually have to be in the house. So adult chickens and diapers, no. But baby chicks, I usually keep them like in a plastic tote with a heat lamp because they don't have feathers and you got to keep them warm and all that. So they'll probably be in the house for like 6 weeks.
Oh.
And they go outside to their little coop that you've bought and put together for them. And they usually start laying. Can you do what?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. They usually start laying eggs around maybe 18 or 20 weeks. So 5 months. So if you got your chicks now, say March 1st, by 4th of July, you might have eggs.
Oh, boy. That's pretty quick. And you do everything in your power not to name them? Or do you, since they're just egg chickens, do you name your chickens?
Of course.
Of course you do.
How would I talk to them if they didn't have names?
I love you.
They can't come in the house, but of course they have names.
Right. And I bet the chickens have to have really fun names too.
Most of mine actually have like people names. Like I have Amanda, Violet, Miranda, well, Mean Kate. She's super mean and she does not like anyone.
Don't mess with Kate.
Don't mess with Kate.
She's mean.
And Sherman, our little rooster. But yeah, they mostly all have people names.
That's adorable. Throughout the years, have you ended up with like Sally Twos or do they all have had original names?
No, so... At first, you know, different breeds, different names, all that. And now, I mean, it's been 12 years. So, of course, we've lost some to old age and all that. So I've started repeating, getting the same breed, naming them the same name, because it's too hard to remember otherwise.
Right.
So like Violet, Charlotte, we're on our second generation of those names. With the same, right. The chicken that looks the same, because I don't want to confuse people.
That's
so like 30 years from now, they're going to be like, how is Violet still around? They're like
She's
body
immortal.
Doubles. They just slide them in. Yeah.
Immortal chickens. I just watched the documentary on chicken contests. Have you seen this? The breeders. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like best in show chickens, right?
Oh, okay.
Like basically dog shows, but chicken shows.
I bet those people are nuts.
Oh, it was really funny. but yeah, I didn't know that there was that many different types of chickens. Like I thought chicken's a chicken, right? But there is a plethora of purebred different types of chickens.
Over 100 different breeds, I believe. And then a whole bunch more that people have just made up over the years. But yeah, as far as showing, I've been to a few poultry shows and you're right. They are like dog shows, just, you know, cages and cages, and they judge the breeds and best in show and all that kind of stuff.
And there's like a book, this like super archaic book that like describes the perfect chicken for each breed and the specific, like what the, what's the little bill on the top?
The breed standard, like they do with dogs. And they explain like the shape of the head and how long the legs should be and the coloring and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. The people that are into that, I mean, they're hardcore, breeders, and they normally focus just on like one or two breeds that they are super passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen Martha Stewart at the show out here in New England.
Really?
Yeah, she goes and buys her chickens there.
Ah, I didn't know that Martha Stewart was a chicken keeper.
She is from way far back.
Her and Snoop Dogg hanging out in the backyard of the chickens, just chilling.
Just chilling.
They host the Puppy Bowl together every year, which we do. It's fabulous.
They do.
It's way better than the Super Bowl. It's so much better.
And the Kitten Bowl.
And the Kitten Bowl, new. Yep. Where's the Chicken Bowl?
I know. Well, there was a chicken actually a few years ago who played the national anthem, I believe. I don't know if it was a Super Bowl, but it might have been a football game on a piano. They taught her to peck the keys, like the keys light up, and they taught her to play a song on a piano.
Oh, man.
But then I think she was on like Jimmy Kimmel or something, and she froze. Oh. And like that was the end of her career. Like you didn't see her again.
No.
She made it really sad.
She made it all the way to Kimmel and froze.
Oh. Yeah. I think she might have even hopped off the piano bench. Like she just refused to perform and like that was the end for her.
She retired back to the coop to just settle into old age.
Huh? It's like enough. And I mean, sadly, I got my chickens a xylophone because I was like, hey, maybe they would love me if I gave them some musical instruments, right? Like this chicken, they wanted no part of it.
No. I mean, she's probably just sick of all the paparazzi just harassing her all the time, trying to steal her eggs, like sell on eBay and stuff.
I'm sure it was a lot.
Overwhelming for a small town chicken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is fun. So I bet in that cookbook there of yours that there is a lot of things to do with those eggs.
There are. There really are. You know, I mean, in all seriousness, now that we've had all this fun, I really did want to get people like to move beyond fried or scrambled or omelet. Like there's so many things you can do with eggs and you can eat them any time of day. So I really just wanted to write a cookbook. I didn't want it to be farm to table or seasonal or any of that. I wanted it to be egg recipes.
So how did we break away from the omelet? If you will.
Well, and I mean, it is broken into chapters, you know, breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner, whatever. But if you want to have an omelet for dinner, that's great. I have a bacon and eggs pizza that you can have for dinner. You can have it for breakfast. You know, so I feel like you could be sort of fluid with your meals and, you know, when you eat different things.
Not restricted to just sunny side up over easy.
Right.
I did a fun thing the other day. I had leftover mashed potatoes, and so I made a potato cake, and then I put a hole in the middle of the potato cake, and then I put an egg in the middle, like an egg in the hole. But I called it egg in a spud hole.
That's cute. Was it good?
It was really good. It's just ooey gooey, like, you know, basically just, you know, the runny yolk. Just
right.
All through your mashed potatoes, and it just, really kicked it up a notch.
Nice. I can't believe how many people, like since talking about the book and sharing photos and everything, how many people have an aversion to a runny yolk? And I don't get that because
to me,
like a hard-boiled egg is overcooked. It's like cooking a steak well done.
Yeah. No. Like, you ruined it. You want ketchup with that? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you do.
I like a jammy, like soft-boiled, perfect, or poached, or something that's still got a little bit of runniness to the yolk.
My mom was a big poached egg lady when I was growing up. She always, and it's not that difficult, but I don't think that people really poach their eggs often at home.
I don't think they do either. We were too. And one of the recipes in the book is the egg in the hole where you take the toast and you mm-hmm. cut the, you know, and I was talking to someone in another interview and she was like, oh, my mom made that all the time. And I said, my mom like never did. She was apparently too lazy to cut the hole with a cookie cutter. So she just made toast and like put a poached egg on top of it. And the interviewer was like, you can just use a drinking glass. Like she didn't have to find a cookie cutter. And I was like, yeah, I got to ask her about that. Like, why was she so darn lazy? You know, like cut the hole in the toast for us.
I used a pill bottle on my mashed potatoes. That's what was sitting there and it was empty.
And it was about the right size. Yeah, that's no, it's true though. I mean, dropped egg on toast is great too. It's just, yeah, I think poaching is fun because like I make the little whirlpool and drop the egg in and it like all swirls around and I don't know.
A little dash of vinegar, right? That's the thing.
Well, our eggs are so fresh. The egg white is so thick. The eggs really, it stays together really well. And if you just make that whirlpool and put the egg in, it like swirls the white around the yolk and it
stays
together.
Really fresh eggs. So what do you
really fresh eggs?
Really fresh eggs. I think maybe that's the aversion that why maybe I don't poach eggs at home because I just remember the house smelling like vinegar when my mom would make poached eggs every morning and I don't want the house smelling
like
vinegar.
I tried it for the cookbook. I tried all different methods for a lot of different things. I tried putting salt in the water. I tried putting vinegar and the vinegar sort of like puckered the egg white. I did not like the way it came out and I did not like the smell. It didn't taste like vinegar, but I didn't like the vinegar thing at all.
Yeah.
So I just do a little swirly whirlpool.
So ladies and gentlemen, if you get fresh eggs, you don't need to add anything to your water. Just do it.
Same with when you fry them. You know, you take an old egg and you drop it, you know, you crack it and drop it in your pan and it spreads over your whole pan. Whereas if you have a fresh egg and you drop it, it just stays there. So it's like the size of your bagel or whatever you're making your egg sandwich out of.
All right. So obviously there's a large differentiation in the eggs at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I try to only buy the free range, like expensive eggs, and they do appear more yellow and fresher than the little shitty white ones, right? That you crack them open and they're like pale white yellow.
Yeah, and they're like, it's like water. The egg, you can just, like, I mean, the white is just like water. I mean, so price or like fancy packaging doesn't necessarily mean the eggs are fresher, but it could. And the orange egg yolk is, you know, based on the chicken's diet. So she's eating a variety of things that make the egg yolk orange. But I think you do have a better chance of getting a fresher egg if you go for like one of the smaller brands, maybe a local farm brand that's at your grocery store, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a farmer's market. I mean, farmer's markets are great places.
Probably should be getting the eggs from the farmer's market. If you're
you
not,
probably should.
If you don't have chickens in your backyard.
Right.
We have a friend in the country and his chickens just run everywhere. He is, I don't even know, probably close to 100 chickens, just like free running around his house. He's got a plantation house. He's got pigs and a mini horse and some other stuff. But the chickens just are just wherever. They just do whatever they want. And so my dogs go out there, and he actually bred my dog, and he has those dogs. But they just chase the chickens around like it's their job, and it's hilarious. I've just never seen just that many chickens just out and about running around. And so
that's a lot of chickens. That would, even when we had 3 dozen, it was a lot. Like, it was hard to keep track of their names, and it was a lot. I felt like that was too many.
But the eggs are everywhere around the property, so like every day is like an Easter egg hunt. You can just go, right? You know, you have somebody bring their kids out and just like, hey, go find eggs.
Right, find some eggs. It's fun.
it was ridiculous. But I did think it was, you know, if you could just let them out for a little while right around Easter, you could just save parents a whole lot of time.
Right. Well, it's really funny because we had chickens growing up and my mom used those little plastic eggs that you like put things in, you know, mm-hmm. they're like two pieces with a hinge. I never remember looking for real chicken eggs. I guess maybe because we had the chickens and it wouldn't have been fun because we collect eggs every day. So for Easter, she made it special with the plastic eggs. I don't know.
Yeah. So you got toys in there, right? Like little candies.
Money or candy or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, we did not have chickens, so we painted the eggs every year. So we always mm-hmm. decorated the eggs and made the house smell like vinegar.
Again.
and then for some reason, my parents would let us hide them. And every year, there was a few that just never came back. So you'd have to wait till you could smell it.
Right. I mean, we used to color eggs, but those weren't the ones that my mom hid. So I don't know. Maybe she realized that a rotten egg like behind the couch in July wasn't going to be the best thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We realized that too. They started being put outside. I think my mom just didn't like the plastic. She's an herbalist. She's an old hippie. So like,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't allowed to have candy either. So like our candy was like candied flowers and weird carob concoctions. Nobody knows what carob is now, but
no, I think Easter was like the one time we got to have candy along with Halloween. But yeah, those plastic Easter eggs, that was it.
We did fun things as adults for Easter, like putting fun things in the Easter eggs and hiding them for each other. It made Easter fun again for adults. P.S. If you're in a, you know, you can put money in there right. or whatever else you want.
Anything that'll fit inside.
Anything that'll fit inside an egg. Condoms, whatever.
I was going to go there and I was like, I'm not going to say that.
Well, I'm glad I put my foot forward first. And I don't even feel like it's in my mouth.
You know, it's just giving people holiday ideas.
Right.
I figure. I mean, Easter's mm-hmm. coming up, right?
So right. It is.
It's important to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. So Easter originally, eggs and all that, was a fertility
mm-hmm. True.
Holiday, right? Springtime.
That's right.
The Easter Bunny.
Rebirth and all that kind of stuff. Yep.
And then, you know, we still use, it's, isn't it funny? I always find it so funny when we look at our holidays and we look at like our mascots and it just, none of it makes any damn sense.
And as a kid, you don't question it at all. Uh-uh. As a kid, it makes perfect sense.
You're like, Jesus was resurrected, and also the Easter Bunny brought me eggs. Chocolate.
And bunnies don't lay eggs, but that's okay. Like, yeah. Why isn't an Easter chicken? The whole thing makes no sense.
It's all very confusing. But hey, we just go with it. We've got hundreds of years, just run with it.
You do, and as a kid, you just buy into the whole lie.
Mm-hmm. Cadbury hashtag crushed it.
Yeah.
Oh man, good times. What are you doing for Easter?
Probably, since you gave us these new ideas for adult games, maybe try that. No, I usually do. I mean, I actually do like to dye eggs, because especially now that we have the goose eggs, they're really big and white. And I love using like plant dyes, like beets or carrots, turmeric, spinach, and blueberries, you know, making all kinds of natural plant dyes. You do have to use the vinegar, but that's kind of fun.
That is fun. How do you make mm-hmm. how do you make the plant? You just like mash up the blueberries, strain it?
Or heat the blueberries up and then strain the solids out. You can use the beet greens, just like boil them in water with some vinegar, get all the color out. Turmeric, you can just mix into water and vinegar. I mean, pretty much any vegetable that when you boil the vegetable, you end up with water that's different color. You just throw eggs into it.
Brilliance. So you don't have to buy that food coloring. And then
exactly.
And also maybe you can put the blueberry syrup on your pancakes later.
You could do that.
I don't know about the beet juice. I'm not into the beet juice, but
the chickens get that.
You know, it all goes back to the earth. I've hung out with several chicken people on my on my journey, and one thing that I find in common with all of them is that they all really like worms as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about worms?
Oh, the people do?
The people, yeah. I think it's more of the appreciation for worms and like this cyclical kind of closed circuit that you can have in farming with the chickens. Because
the chickens eat most of our worms,
right?
Which kind of bums me out, because worms are good for the garden. But yeah, chickens are good for gardening, because obviously there's chicken manure, which is great for the garden. But also, instead of composting, you can just feed all the chickens all your scraps from the kitchen or the garden,
mm-hmm.
and then they basically compost it. So you kind of avoid a compost pile. You kind of skip a step in there.
Yeah. So there's a chicken guy for this restaurant that I was at, and they mm-hmm. take all of their compost and they give it to the chicken guy, and the chicken guy takes it and the worms eat the compost, he says, and then the chickens eat the worms, and then right. and then he eats the chickens.
Right, and they lay eggs, and yeah,
right, it's all connected, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the beautiful things about chickens that I think maybe raising other animals doesn't fully give you.
Not as much, because like your sheep and your horses and your goats aren't going to eat scraps. I mean, they might eat stuff out of your garden, but they're not going to eat lots and lots of leftovers. You know, chickens are omnivores, so they'll eat pretty much anything. They're kind of like pigs. Chickens and pigs will eat anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, pigs will literally eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
We had I was a kid in Colorado, and it wasn't our pig, but it was named Agamantha. And this pig, I remember, I was only like 3 or 4, but I remember like literally this pig eating milk containers, like milk jugs and like this fucking everything. And it was fine, but I had a super ball, you know, like a super bouncy ball. And
yeah.
And I accidentally bounced it into his pen and he ate that. and he was super sick for this pig ate everything in the world, but this Super Bowl.
It was a Super Bowl. It probably blocked his intestines up or something.
Yeah, I just had that thought now as an adult. I'm like, it probably just couldn't digest and was stuck in him.
He got stuck. You killed the poor pig. Yeah, we had a friend who had pigs, and we used to actually go with him because as kids, it was fun to go to the grocery store, and they'd empty the dumpster into his truck, and then we got to throw all the stuff from the dumpster into the pigs, and they would eat boxes of cereal, the box.
And
the whole deal. They just eat the whole thing.
They don't give a fuck.
No.
Pigs will literally eat. I mean, goats will eat anything too, but I think they're just more into destruction.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they necessarily, well, I guess they do eat it, but it's more just to like destroy whatever it is that they're eating.
Like people have pet pigs and you never see like videos of the pig like destroying the couch, right?
No.
It knows that's not food, even though it wants to eat and will eat anything in the world.
Well, if there's food inside it, like I think they would eat it if there was food inside a couch cushion or something, but.
Oh no, I should not have eaten those crackers on the couch. Seriously, no cookies in bed.
No cookies in bed, no.
So you host a TV show.
I do.
Called Welcome to My Farm.
Welcome to My Farm.
Is it? Yes. It's your farm?
It is my farm.
And you welcome.
It was on NBC here in Maine for 2 years, and it got picked up by American Public Television. So starting April 1st, it will be available on local public television stations nationwide.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. People have to check their location zip code because the stations are going to play at different days, different times. So I don't have like a standard day and time for it. But yes, over 200 stations have picked it up. So it's fun.
PBS?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. April 1st. I can't wait. My birthday's in April.
Mine too.
Yours too? When's your birthday?
The 7th.
Mine's the 11th.
Aries.
Yeah, we're 4 days apart. I was born in 79.
We're a couple years apart. I'm not telling you.
You don't have to tell me. That's why I told you.
I feel like I'm almost the same generation, though. You know, like the generational things, the Super Bowl and going out on our bikes and stuff.
Rotary phones. Playing with rabbit ears to get to be able to watch television.
Or that click thing. You'd click, 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 and the antenna on the roof would spin around.
Oh, that's fancy. See, we didn't have that. We were putting tinfoil on the end of the rabbit ears.
Yes, we did that too. My dad would sit there and tell us to change the channel because, of course, there was no remote.
Or sometimes if somebody stood in the right part of the room, it would work better. So, right. No, just stand there. No, stay right there. Don't move. Don't move. No, it's clear. No, we're good. No, just stay there. Well, you're moving. Stop moving.
But oddly enough, it seems like there were better shows on TV back then than there are now. Like, there was always something to watch, even though we only had three channels, maybe four with public television.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's where Sesame Street was.
Mm-hmm. All the good stuff. Happy Days and Charlie's Angels and Love Boat.
Oh,
so
man.
So much good TV.
I was always Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah. Happy Days.
I think Happy Days was in reruns for me, but.
Me too.
I'm right. I mean, right. Yes. Nick at Night actually played black and white television.
Cheers. I mean, all the good stuff was.
Oh, I repeatedly watched Cheers about every few years, just like right back through it. And even that's timestamped because you start watching Cheers, there was no computers. They were answering the phone, right? There was no internet. There's nothing. And it's.
I bet they didn't even take credit cards. It was probably all cash.
Yeah, right. I mean, Norm had a tab.
Right.
Just ongoing forever. Oh, get the good old days. It's still so good, though. Cheers is still good. Some shows do not hold up from the 80s. You ever try to watch Family Ties again? Oh.
No.
It's real bad. It is not good. Growing Pains?
Oh, really? No, I haven't watched those since I probably watched them originally.
I was just curious once, and I was like, you know, Michael J. Fox, Family Ties, you know, like, you know, throwback. Like, I don't need to watch Cheers again. I've already seen it like 100 times, which is always still good. You can always put on Cheers. And so bad. Like, it's just, you remember how we used to be taught lessons, like slapped in our faces through sitcoms back in the day?
Right.
Yeah, too much. Just, whoa. Like, they were all like public service announcements. It's just almost uncomfortable to watch.
It was all like the brainwashing that was being done back then.
But we watched Family Ties every week, right? And it was like, we looked forward to it. So bad. Just not a good show. Michael J. Fox, however, you know. Cheers to him.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so back to this show. It airs on PBS April 1st. Starting April 1st. You want to tell me, like, what are we in for?
It's a half hour. I call it a chicken lifestyle show. So each episode has a little bit about chickens, a little gardening. I cook. It's a lot about Maine and the seasons as well. So like I go to a maple syrup shack type thing, a Christmas tree farm. I go to a strawberry farm. So each week I'm kind of doing something different.
Super.
I think
cool.
It'll be fun. I think people will like it.
I'm going to watch. I'm excited.
So 25 years from now, you can be like, yeah, that show, Welcome to My Farm. Ooh, didn't age well.
No, I mean, you can go watch my show if you want to take a nap, too. It's fun. Season 3 is going to be a little more fast-paced. Well, I love – that's what I like to do is, you know, I want to go – I like to go places and find out about, you know, the owners and their lives and – So season 3, we got to go to a little more places, in the towns instead of just the restaurants and like meet little shop owners and stuff like that.
Fun.
So, you know, how's that? It's a really good time, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I mean, it was fun meeting the people. Everybody was super nice, you know, that I contacted and asked if we could just come and like invade their place and film, you know, but I think people will like it because I think there's a lot of, interest in Maine. You know, people see it maybe as a vacation destination, but not necessarily as a place where people live. And we have so many things that are just so Maine, like blueberries and lobster and, you know, things that you just associate with Maine.
The first place I ever had a lobster was in Maine because it was too expensive for my parents to buy us anywhere else. So during that trip, that camping trip, because again, we camped on the beach in Maine. And we went to this lobster place and my parents got us all our individual lobster. And shoot, I think I was probably like 12 and my sisters are like 8 and like 4. And we just put these whole lobsters in front of us kids, right? And we just have no idea what to do with this thing.
Right.
And one of my sisters starts crying because, like, it's a dead animal in front of her.
It's on her plate.
On her plate. And I think it was super cheap. Like, it was like $14, I think, for like the whole lobster back then.
Probably.
Right. Mm-hmm. And which is, I don't know, that's cheap to today's standards, right?
It is. I mean, sometimes we see lobster for like $7 or $8.99 a pound. Obviously, during the tourist season, it's more. And if you go out to a restaurant, you know, you're probably paying $20 or $30 for a steamed lobster. But I mean, the grocery stores, there's food trucks. They're everywhere on every menu.
Lobster rolls. It's the lobster
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Which are not cheap either. I mean, they can go for like $25 for a roll in the summer.
Woo!
Crazy.
Maine. Crazy. Inflation's everywhere.
Yeah. Well, tourist gouging, I guess you'd call it more so. Because, you know, off-season, the prices come back down again a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I live in Savannah, and they literally, they rape the tourists when season's in.
Hey, good. It keeps our taxes down.
St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and... So Savannah has like one of the largest St. Patrick's Day parties. I think it's second next to Boston.
Oh, wow.
And it just a sea of green. Like it hasn't in the last couple of years, obviously. Everything was canceled. But and it's still, we're not full blown again this year. But sea of green, and everything is three times as much money everywhere you go.
Want a green beer? $15, please.
Uh-huh. I don't know why people travel during like those peak times. Like I would never go to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. That just seems like a terrible idea.
Or like the Macy's parade, or I guess it's just the experience. New Year's. Times Square New Year's.
Yeah, no. I don't want to know. To just be stuck in a crowd in a line? Like, that's, no. Like, do you want to go to an amusement park on the busiest day of the year or on the least busiest day of the year?
I don't want to go at all, but I would definitely pick the least busy day.
No, not into roller coasters, huh? No. Neither is my wife.
Ferris wheels, nothing up high. I mean, you ever see the people that put those rides together?
Oh, yeah. No. You mean at like fairs? Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. No, I'm scared of those too. I don't get on. I won't get on a Ferris wheel. No, that is like probably the most dangerous ride in the country.
Right.
No.
The moving fairs that they dismantle and put back together, like in different towns. No, thank you.
No.
But like maybe at Disney, something that, you know, supposedly has been like safety checked.
Yeah, maybe Six Flags.
No, still, like the merry-go-round type thing or the teacups. I'll do those.
See, teacups scare the shit out of me too, because it's just like the tiny little wire that I'm just riding on this little teacup. And I'm like, it's the only thing between me and the ground is this wire. And it doesn't look very thick. I am scared of heights too, though. So The long, drawn out height. You're just like, oh, I'm up here.
I can't think the last time I was on a roller coaster. I have no desire.
But I don't mind. I don't mind just being scared for a little bit. I'm okay with that. Like I'll jump off of a cliff into water because I know I'm gonna live. But I won't stand on a cliff with cement below me and just like look down and admire the distance.
Right.
Because that's scary.
I was somewhere and there was a party or happy hour or something. And there was a deck. It was like on a high rise. And there was like a balcony outside and it was glass. Mm. So it was a glass bottom.
Uh-huh.
I went to like the far wall. I was like, I'll just be against this wall here. And people were out there standing on it. And you could just look down like however many stories to the sidewalk.
And just feel the blood get sucked up out of your feet.
No,
it is a weird feeling. That is, because it's not like the blood's really being pulled out of your feet, but
it might be.
But like it does feel that way, right? Just tingly. So all right, real quick, what's your favorite? You probably don't have a favorite, but do you have a couple of your top favorite ways to make an egg?
Absolutely, Eggs Benedict. Good hollandaise sauce, poached egg. I don't even need the bread. Just give me the hollandaise and the egg and I'm good.
Nobody needs a muffin. I mean, the carbs, fuck the carbs.
Exactly. Just put a pool of hollandaise on a plate and drop an egg on top and I'm good. Lemon, butter, egg, all good.
That does taste tasty. Ice cream is another thing that people don't usually consider with their fresh eggs.
I love
really
making
good.
Ice cream. It's really good. Yeah, it's definitely worth getting an ice cream machine. Well, here, because we have a couple ice cream places, but nothing super close. But yeah, homemade ice cream is really fun to make, and it's not hard.
No, with those goose eggs behind you? You ever do that?
Exactly.
You make ice cream with the goose
eggs? I've made duck egg ice cream. I've never made goose egg ice cream.
Oh, well. Check, something new to do.
Might have to try that.
Awesome. You have so many things for everyone to go check out. Where should we start?
Yeah, super easy. I mean, I'm completely on brand. So if anyone's looking for me, just type Fresh Eggs Daily into Google and you'll just get like pages and pages. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, at Fresh Eggs Daily, fresheggsdaily.com. And then my books, Fresh Eggs Daily, Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook. I make it super simple for people.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
The queen of the coop, indeed.
And I will have to get you a copy. I'll have to get you a copy of my cookbook. I thought that my publicist had sent you one. But yeah. I will shoot me your address and I'll send you one.
I will send it to you again. Not on this messenger, though.
Yeah, no. Regular emailer would be better.
Will do for sure.
Which awesome. Is fresheggsdaily@gmail.com. Super easy.
Super easy. Fresh Eggs Daily. You can have them every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get yourself some chickens. I will see if I can convince my wife to just get a couple. But I made the mistake one time of putting a snail in a fish tank. Don't ever do that.
It wasn't like a snail that lives in fish tanks.
No, it just replicated until it owned the fish tank. So I'm worried that as soon as I go get a few chickens, I'm just going to end up with hundreds and hundreds of chickens.
I mean, they don't exactly do that, but it is easy to just get out of hand and all of a sudden you just have 100 running around your yard, like your friend.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what he did. He was from New Orleans. I'm pretty sure he didn't ever live on farms until he bought the farm. And then now the farm owns him.
Yeah, it happens.
You got to own your own farm, which I'm sure you will find out more about come this April when we start watching Welcome to Your Farm, my farm.
Yeah, watch and just check your local listings, or on my blog, there is a link and it will have a zip code locator so you can find the channel and the times and all that.
Cool. Totally doing that. Cool. Lisa, this has been so much fun.
So fun.
We'll have to hang out again someday, and if you get bored, feel free to try out my egg recipe, egg in a spud hole.
So. I absolutely will. That sounds interesting. I will, for real.
Something to do with your leftover mashed potatoes for breakfast, you know? Those work.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. You are indeed the queen of the coop. And wear that crown proudly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, darling. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And tell all the chickens I said hello.
I absolutely will. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers, bye. Baby. Bye-bye. Awesome, Lisa Steele, everybody. And go watch my television series, Beyond the Check, now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. And follow me everywhere, R-E-Y-S-H-A-N, Parker, and Beyond the Check everywhere.